Good morning, everybody. Welcome to my podcast, In Pursuit of Purpose, where we hold space for transforming trauma, igniting your purpose, and rewriting your story one episode at a time. So how is everybody today? For me, I am thrilled beyond belief that it is spring and that winter is over with, finally. At least that's what our calendar says. We are expecting a little bit of snow on Monday, which I'm just hoping goes away at this point. But we've been enjoying an unseasonably warm February so far. And then March kind of took a nosedive as far as temps again a little bit. But I am not complaining because there has not been much snow on the ground. And I am ready for spring and for a new change. So it's been a while since I have updated you guys, and before I get started with part six of today's podcast series, I wanted to fill you in on what I'm currently working on, any life updates happening, and what you can expect moving forward. I haven't done that for a while, so I thought I would just check in and let you know where I am at with everything and what I'm up to. So let's see. In my author life, I am currently knee-deep in the middle of my first ever cozy mystery series, and the series itself is called Menopause and Muffin Tops, and the name of the novel I'm working on is called Brood to Perfection. It's about a middle-aged woman named Charlie who's coming out of a brutal divorce, her last kid just left for college, and she's at a crossroads. She's begging to find herself as she embarks on a journey to find herself. I just repeated that. I'm going to have to work on that blurb before I actually put that out. But she is on a journey to find herself and just kind of questioning where she's at in her life and what she should do with everything. So she takes off on a road trip one weekend and unexpectedly finds this little tiny town, East Coast town called Brewster Bay. And she quickly discovers that nothing is as cozy as it seems in that little town. But she starts her life over there, hoping for a fresh start. She ends up, at the beginning of the book, she goes to the doctor and complains about all these annoying symptoms she's having thanks to the joy of going through menopause. And he puts her on a brand new medication sure to solve all of her problems. Only it doesn't. It makes things worse. So she starts experiencing bizarre side effects that lead her on wild goose chases in the middle of the night. She does some sleep eating, some sleep cooking, some sleep jogging, all of which end up in some pretty hilarious circumstances in the middle of the night. And she doesn't remember any of this is happening because it's due to the side effects of the medication only when she falls asleep. So on one late night amnesia-like escapade, she discovers a body in the woods. She doesn't even remember finding it the next day when the police show up at the door to question her. When her ex-husband, Max Reynolds, is found dead, dun, 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 she suddenly becomes the focus and prime suspect in a murder investigation where all clues point to her. So the remainder of the book is spent unraveling clues, untying ties to the town's hidden past to reveal who the real killer is, and with any luck, clearing her name. It's humorous, it's suspenseful, it's fun, it's entertaining, and I really can't wait to share it with you guys. It's probably the most fun thing I've ever written. I've written a lot of things. I've written some serious things. I've written fantasy. I've written some steampunk, which that was fun too. But this is probably the most enjoyable thing I've ever written. And most of it's probably because I can totally relate to a lot of the content that's in it at my age, to be honest. Okay, so in our personal life, we are in the middle of planning a small getaway in July for a much-needed mini-vacation, just my hubby and I. Call it a pre-celebration of October celebration. So in October, we'll be traveling to the East Coast to see our daughter Megan, her husband Troy, and our two grandbabies. We miss them so much, and my grandbaby tells me every day, "Grandma, I wish you could come see me." So we are going to try to make that happen again in October. And on that trip, we'll be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. We're going to travel to York, Pennsylvania again to see all of them. But along the way, we're going to go to some of our very favorite spots before, during, and after that trip. And just kind of bask in the memories that we've created over the past 25 years. And it hasn't always been easy. It's been a wild ride, but I wouldn't have wanted to do it with anybody else. And speaking of my hubby, he is the host of the Crafted Quill podcast. And we have been working on a series with apology languages. So we just did part two of the apology language series that we're working on together. The first part, I think we did maybe a couple months ago, kind of got behind in following up with that one. But the first part was about unlearning unhealthy apology habits and how righting wrongs and expressing regret lead to reconciliation and a healthier marriage. Now, this one we just did on Monday night was about how your love languages affect your language of apology as well. And, I mean, we've been married 25 years and I learned a lot from that. We didn't even stop to think about how your love language affects how you both give and receive an apology. So, if you want to check that one out, check both of them out, I think you would really enjoy them. We are going through the book, The Five Apology Languages, The Secret to Healthy Relationships by Gary Chapman and Jennifer Thompson, and we should be doing the recording of part three very soon. So what plans do I have in store for the podcast moving forward? Once this series of Unraveling the Past from A to Z is done, I am going to shift my focus more to my innate purpose as a writing coach. Helping others unlock their purpose by embarking on a transformative writing journey. And I'm going to be talking about topics of self-discovery, rewriting old narratives, and healing from past trauma by finding your voice and telling your story. So feel free to reach out either by email. My email is skfrazier, F-R-A-Z-I-E-R, 333 at gmail.com, or sharing your ideas in the comments below. What topics would you want to see? Or do you need help with when it comes to writing your own story? Have you thought about writing a book, but you don't know where to start? Or have you written the book, but you don't know how to get started with self-publishing or becoming an indie author? I am here for all of it, and I can help you with all of it. If you don't want to wait for the series and you're ready to get started now, I have a couple books out on Amazon already that might help you at least get you fired up and ready to go. So the first one is Lessons Learned, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Wrote the Book. And it talks a lot about getting inspired and all of the things that you need to do ahead of time as you're writing. It also gives you some technical tools to use, like Grammarly and Pixabay and things like that when you are writing your book and when you're coming up with covers and blurbs and things like that. The second book is Lessons Learned, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Published the Book. Both of them are comprehensive survival guides to editing and publishing. It's to help you create an unforgettable narrative, no matter what genre you're writing in, whether it be self-help, whether it be fiction, nonfiction, or a memoir. And I will be focusing more at a later time, both in a workshop and in a third book on Things I Wish I Knew Before I Wrote My Memoir. So both of those books, like I said, are available on Amazon. And I will include the links below so that you can check those out too. So as I'm doing that each week, I'll be sharing tips and advice and insights, inspiration, writing prompts even, to get you started on that writing journey. And whether it be, like I said, a personal memoir to help you heal, or whether it be teaching you how to get your feet wet and trying your hand at writing a fiction novel or nonfiction self-help type book that provides guidance to others, that's a great book to do after you have learned a trade or you have a specific expertise or purpose of your own. You can help teach others, and it's fun to put out like a guide of things you already know about. And I enjoy sharing my knowledge with others, and you'd be surprised at what you can learn along the way. I started a writers group at our public library. I don't know, it's probably been about 6 months ago. But every time I go, just sitting in a room full of like-minded creative individuals who are also working on their projects, I've learned so much from them. And I've been an author for how many years now and put out multiple books. And I still have revamped and changed the way I write just because of their helpful insights and advice, which is also a reason why, like later on down the road, I want to talk a little bit more about having a beta reader or others, writing group, readers group, something like that, where you can bounce those ideas off of each other. So I'm excited about this and about redefining and refueling my own purpose while helping you discover yours too. All right, so now that I've caught you up to speed, how about we dive in and we get to work on this podcast? As I said earlier, today is part 6 of my 26-part series, Unraveling the Past from A to Z, Exploring the Layers of Trauma, and Uncovering a Path Towards Healing. This series delves into the enduring impact of childhood trauma, unraveling the persistent memories that linger and shape our adult selves. As we navigate the intricate web of generational trauma, we explore its influence on our thoughts, emotions, and identity. By confronting our ghosts, shedding layers of false identities we've accepted as truth, and rewriting our narrative, we embark on a journey of healing and self-discovery. So each of these chapters is rewritten as a step towards healing those deep-seated wounds that bind us. So today I want to jump into the layers of the letter F in my life through the lens of, you all know from the past episodes, we do 3 parts. So the first one is I am fireflies. So that word that starts with the letter F is reconnecting with my childhood self. I am fearful is the stage where I unravel the effects of trauma and its impact on me. And then the third part is I am fierce. That is where I embrace transformation and my own purpose in order to find a path towards healing. So first of all, let's talk about chasing fireflies and finding joy in the simple moments. So this would be the reconnection with my childhood self. So as I sat down to write this part, I was flooded with memories that came rushing back, and I felt a wave of nostalgia and warmth. So if I close my eyes like I've asked you guys to do before, close your eyes for a minute and think about your own childhood. But if I close mine, I can still feel that gentle summer breeze brushing against my skin. I can hear the sound of laughter and feel the pulsating energy of youth running through my veins. I can still recall the days where I roamed freely with nothing but the world and its wonders as my playground. Now, if I reflect on those days of my childhood that I feel like are just carefree and, like I said, without a care in the world, not worrying about what came next, I am transported back to a time when chasing fireflies and catching them felt like capturing tiny drops of happiness in the palm of my hand. Did anybody else take glass jars outside, the ones where we poke the little holes in the lids and collect lightning bugs and fireflies? I know for me, we would sit on the screened-in porch after we gathered as many as we could, and we would turn off all the lights. And those nights were alive with flickering lights of those mystical creatures. And with each gentle touch, I felt my spirit light up with joy. It was really a time of innocence and a time of just pure, unadulterated happiness. When is the last time you have felt pure, unadulterated happiness? For me, it's probably when I'm spending time with my grandbabies and when we're traveling, when we're out on the road, when my husband and I have a chance to step away from the real world. But chasing those fireflies as a child became more than just a game for me. It was a connection to my inner child, a way to tap into the sense of wonder and awe that seemed to be so often lost in the hustle and bustle of our adult life now. The joy I felt as I watched those tiny little lightning bugs dance before my eyes was pure and untainted. It was a happiness that didn't depend on material possessions or external validation, but on the sheer delight of just being present in the moment. In those moments of simplicity, where my only concern was chasing fireflies, I wasn't burdened by the weight of the world or the worries of tomorrow. Those were innocent and fleeting moments, and in that moment, I was fearless. I was unburdened by worry, and I was wrapped in the magic of the present. So the simple act of just running through the fields, following the trail of those shimmering lights, filled me with a sense of freedom. And that's very hard to replicate sometimes in adulthood. It's easy to do when we're children and we're free of all the other constraints of the world. It was a time when the only limits that I had were those of my own imagination, and my creativity knew no bounds. So as I look back on those memories, I'm reminded of the importance of reconnecting with my childhood self now. That fearless, carefree little girl that lives within me somewhere, no matter how buried deep she's been for the last 50 years, is just waiting to be rediscovered. So I guess one of the things I've learned through unraveling all these things in the past 6 episodes of this podcast, I'm looking at this new season of my life as a time of reawakening and of rediscovering the woman that I want to be now, perhaps a better version of myself than the ones who have gone before me. In this fast-paced world of ours, it's all too easy to lose touch with that inner innocence, that sense of freedom and fearlessness, isn't it? So by taking the time to reflect on those simple moments of chasing fireflies, taking time to slow down and gaze at the stars late at night, taking a moment out of your day just to be still, just to listen to the universe, to pray, to meditate, we can connect with our true essence these ways by just doing those small, simple things to get away from life for a while. By embracing the joy of our childhood memories, we learn to nurture our inner child with love and care. Let's learn how to rediscover that happiness that comes from living without fear of what the future holds and instead bask in the beauty of the present moment again. We need to learn to chase our own metaphorical fireflies and reignite the spark of wonder and magic that lies within us all. So the second part of that, like I said before, I gotta look up here, is I am fearful. So this would be the point where I'm no longer chasing fireflies and thinking of life as innocent and free, but trauma starts to work its way. You can tell I have travel on the brain, don't you? I'm ready for vacation already. Trauma has found its way in, no matter how deep, no matter how surface it might be. Like I said, we have talked before about little T traumas and big T traumas. It doesn't have to be anything even major, but at some point, trauma works its way into our lives. And at that point, I became fearful. There was something within me, within my innocent little brain, that realized, okay, this world really can hurt me. Whatever was said or done hurts a lot or a little bit, but it begins to affect the way you see things and shapes the way you look at life. So at this point in my life, I learned to start living on the edge of fear, and trauma turned me into a safety-first superhero. Now I'm going to call this section the What If Chronicles, how trauma turned me into a self-proclaimed safety expert. As many of us do when our lives spin out of control for reasons beyond our control, I became fearful over time of many, many, many things. Most of them, I have nothing to worry about, but it doesn't mean that it didn't control my brain in the way that I looked at the world. So in the wake of that once fearless and carefree child was the embodiment of an anxiety-ridden human being that life carved out as a person I didn't recognize anymore due to that trauma. So let's set the stage. Imagine a version of yourself that you barely recognize. That was me. That is me sometimes. The events in my life unfolded in a way that left me feeling like a stranger in my own skin. And trauma has a sneaky way of creeping in and reshaping who we are, often without us even realizing it. And I found myself quickly living in the shadows of fear, constantly on edge and worried about what might happen next. And you know, at a very young age, I had a friend who, he had a fight with his mom. I think I was 16. He had a fight with his mom and, as all 16-year-olds do, said some pretty hurtful things to her. And he and his friend took off. It was Veterans Day. It was a holiday. But he and his friend took off in the car and decided that they were going to drive into town and do whatever. He was mad at his mom, said some very mean things, both exchanged words that should not have been said, and he took off. So at some point, he cools off and he decides I was really a jerk. I was kind of an ass to my mom, and I shouldn't have been. So I am going to stop and get her some flowers, and I'm going to stop and get her favorite ice cream from Dairy Queen. And then I'm going to go back home, and I'm going to apologize. So on his way home, he actually was hit head-on by someone else driving, and he was killed in that car accident. So that affected me very strongly. I was taking driver's ed at the time. I was just about to get my license. And all of a sudden I realized, holy crap, I didn't even think about the fact that, you know, one wrong move and I could lose my life or kill someone that's in the car with me. So it began to just sit in the back of my mind and shape that. So eventually I got my driver's license. I drove, you know, it didn't stop me or anything like that. When I was married to my first husband, we were getting ready to plan our wedding, and his sister was on her way down to help out. Five kids in the car, decides to come down when the weather isn't so great, and it started getting worse as they got almost to town and hit a patch of black ice, and she was killed in that car accident. So that shaped my fear of I absolutely dread wintertime driving. And I know that's a huge part of it. I know that's a giant part of the reason why I'm terrified to get in the car and get behind the wheel in the wintertime. I do find I'm getting more experienced at it all the time, but it doesn't mean that those thoughts aren't still in the back of my head. And I know exactly where those seeds were planted. So the fear of losing more loved ones tragically like that, the fear of facing my own mortality, sometimes it becomes too much to bear. So what did I do? I became that self-proclaimed superhero of safety first. Every move I make is meticulously planned. I have a plan A, a plan B, and most of the time I have a plan C, just in case things don't go as expected. And spontaneity, that word is not in my vocabulary most of the time. I became rigid and afraid to step out of my carefully constructed bubble of safety. But here's the kicker. Living in constant fear and worry is completely exhausting. It's like carrying around a backpack filled with bricks, weighing you down at every turn. And I realized that my fear was not serving me, it was imprisoning me. It wasn't protecting me from anything. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen no matter how hard I try to control that. So instead, it just keeps me in this jail of fear, unable to live my life the way I want to. So I've started to realize that I had to unravel the effects of trauma's role in shaping my existence and learn to let go of the need to control every little detail. And it's still hard. You can ask my husband how hard that is for me. It's hard for me just to learn to just walk out the door and let go and have fun. I had to confront the what-if scenarios that played on a loop in my mind continuously and challenge the notion that being safe means being confined. And that, my friends, is not an easy thing to let go of and learn to open yourself up again to being hurt. Or should something go horribly wrong, just like the scenarios that play on repeat in the middle of my anxiety-ridden brain in the middle of the night. It's a work in progress for sure for me. But step by step, I'm learning to loosen that grip of fear and anxiety. I'm slowly allowing myself the freedom to embrace spontaneity, to take risks, and to live without constant worrying of what might go wrong. Now, I love to travel. And I think somewhere at the very core of my being, I'm a nomad at heart. Once I'm out on the road and I'm about, 3 to 4 hours away from home, my body and my mind start relaxing and I'm able to be in the moment and enjoy vacation to the fullest. But those days and weeks and even minutes and hours leading to our departure is full of what ifs and complete dread that something bad is going to happen while we're on the road. But as I look back over our last 25 years, look at all the opportunities I would have missed out on had I given in to that panic and let fear control the decisions and decide to stay home in my safe little cocoon instead. We've had some pretty incredible, beautiful experiences out there on the road, and it makes my heart long for more and more and more. So to all of my fellow safety first superheroes out there, remember this. It's okay to let go of the reins every once in a while. Life is meant to be lived and not just survived. And who knows, you might just surprise yourself with how resilient and brave you truly are when you dare to step outside your comfort zone. I know I have. So until next time, stay fearless. It's time to learn to do all of the things that set our souls on fire, even if it means taking one tiny step at a time out of that comfort zone to get there. So how did I learn to overcome fear and anxiety? How do I find my inner child through fearless exploration and fierce determination to thrive and not merely survive? So at this stage in the journey of my life, or maybe due to being that sneaky little midlife crisis I'm in the middle of, I'm learning to throw caution to the wind and laugh in the face of danger. It reminds me, when I was writing this, it reminded me of the movie Lion King, where Simba says, "I laugh in the face of danger," while wandering in the elephant graveyard. It's the scene where the hyenas threaten to eat Simba and Nala. And I don't know if I would have enough courage to do the same, would you? But I'd like to get to that point one day where I push back all of those negative thoughts in my head, the ones that tell me that I'll fail, the ones that say I'll never be good enough, the ones that say, do not take another step forward or you'll be eaten by a whole cackle of hyenas waiting around the next turn. Because sometimes that's what life feels like. Feels like we're all just waiting to be eaten by hyenas if we take another step forward into this dark, nasty world. But let's talk about that all too familiar word, anxiety, for a minute before we move on. The thing is, not living in denial. We've all experienced it in some form or another. So let's just talk about the elephant in the room and remove some of the power it holds over us. How many of you have ever felt paralyzed by fear and crippling anxiety, unable to break free from the chains of unresolved trauma that linger in your mind or your heart? I know that feeling all too well, and my husband does as well. For the longest time, I was haunted by my past, and I struggled to find any semblance of peace and joy amidst the chaos of all of this inner turmoil and chaos and panic that I felt. And there are days that every step I took was like wading through quicksand, weighed down by the weight of the past. But then a flicker of light pierced through the darkness, and it somehow ignited a spark within me. And I had this deep desire to start to dance with danger and embrace the unknown. I have realized I've lost a few more people this year. My brother died last year, right before Thanksgiving, and one of my very best friends from high school just lost his life here not too long ago, just a couple months ago, and we miss him dearly. It was unexpected, and he was a light and joy of this world, and the world won't ever be the same without him. So I started realizing even more, instead of being fearful of my own dying or of my own self dying, or just worrying about who was going to die next, I realized that life is just too short. We can't be held back by fear, and that healing begins to unravel the layers of trauma that bind us. With each moment of facing those fears head on, I am discovering a newfound strength and resilience that I never knew existed. And then one day, not so very long ago, I made a choice. I decided that I will no longer let fear dictate my life. I was tired of being prisoner to my own thoughts and emotions. I wanted to break free, to dance with danger, and to laugh in the face of anxiety. And I craved this sense of fierce determination, a fiery passion that'll drive me towards my purpose, no matter how daunting the journey seems. So in this moment, I'm trying to turn those scary moments of facing unknown circumstances into life lessons to grow from. Don't get me wrong, I know that growing pains hurt. And every once in a while, very often while, I retreat back into that cocoon of safety and I only poke my head out long enough to breathe and get some air. But then I remember the little girl that I once was, the one that I want to reach for her hand and grasp the hand of the woman I so desperately long to become. So I'm learning to find joy in the simple moments, like chasing fireflies on warm summer evenings and reveling in that spontaneity of life's unpredictable twists and turns. I say, instead of fearing what lies ahead, let's hold on tight and let's learn to enjoy every second of this wild ride life has in store. So with each experience, each step to overcoming obstacles and facing our fears, no matter how small, they become stepping stones towards a life filled with purpose and meaning. This pursuit of passion and purpose will become a beacon of light guiding us through the darkest of times, reminding us that we are capable of overcoming any obstacle that comes our way. So hold on to that fierce determination within you. Let it propel you forward towards a life filled with purpose and fulfillment. Embrace those challenges and dance with danger and laugh in the face of fear. For it's through these experiences that we truly discover the depth of our own strength and resilience. Through this journey of self-discovery and growth, may your pursuit of purpose be a powerful antidote to fear. When we are aligned with our true calling, when we are living authentically and passionately, fear will lose that grip on us. We will become fierce in our determination to do what sets our soul on fire, no matter what obstacles stand in our way. So how do we start on this wild and freeing journey, you ask? Well, buckle up, my friendly thrill seekers. I have kind of put together a little bit of a roadmap to guide you through the maze of anxiety and lead you back to the land of living in joy. So here are a few planned steps and nuggets of advice to help you through that anxious heart and reignite your inner flame. And a lot of these things work for me. They may or may not work for you, but it doesn't hurt to give them a try. You never know what tiny little stone I throw out there will cause a ripple effect and help you take that first step forward. So number one, learning to embrace the unknown. We have to acknowledge our fears, but instead of bracing for the worst, let's choose to see the unknown as a playground of possibilities. Let go of the need for certainty and open yourself up to the magic of spontaneity. Just pick one thing that you think you might be able to accomplish and don't plan for it. Just get in the car, throw it out there. You can do a sticky note party. You can do just set a list of things that you want to accomplish this spring, summer, and fall like we're going to do. We're going to do a coffee crawl and a bookstore tour. And I'm not going to worry about what comes in between A, B, Z, D, whatever. I'm just going to go with it. Number two, find and reconnect with your inner child. Remember the carefree, imaginative spirit you had as a kid, the one chasing fireflies without a care in the world. It's time to reconnect with that inner child and rediscover the wonder and innocence that comes with it. So get out there and chase fireflies. Look at the stars. Go camping. Do something that reconnects with a memory that you have of your childhood when you were free and without cares of the world. Number three, you can practice mindfulness and surround yourself with people who have positive energy. Stay present in the moment and focus on the here and now. Let go of worries about the past or the future, and instead, just savor the joy of the moment. Seek out supportive friends and family members and surround yourself with people who uplift you on your journey and encourage you to be your authentic self. Number three, which is one of my very favorites here, is laugh often. Laughter truly is the best medicine. So make it a point to find humor in everyday situations. Crack a joke. Don't be afraid to laugh at yourself. One of the things you might do is sit on Facebook and start scrolling through some reels. I just recently discovered this, and I have been laughing every single day at stupid jokes. Very corny, cheesy jokes. But I realize that it's been a very long time since I belly laughed, since I just let go and laughed at stupid, corny, cheesy jokes. It is a surefire way to lighten the load of anxiety. Number five, take risks. Step outside of your own comfort zone and take small, calculated risks that excite you. Whether it's trying a new hobby, speaking your mind, or embarking on a new adventure, do something that sets your soul on fire. Number six, thrive. Don't just survive. Life is too short to merely exist. So don't waste precious time fretting about what might go wrong. Instead, focus on thriving and embracing challenges and living life to the fullest. So, if you are ready to take on this task with me, I say we do it together. And let's dare to dance again. Let's learn to laugh in the face of anxiety and reclaim the joy that's rightfully ours. All right, so in conclusion, I stand before you today as a testament of sharing my story about chasing those elusive fireflies and learning to live free. And you need to understand that I used to be afraid of the dark, and sometimes I still am. I'm scared of what might jump out at me from the shadows. Trauma has a way of coloring our view of the world and making me see dangers around every corner. Living in fear became my norm, like a comfy but terrifying security blanket. And then one day, something shifted. I decided that I want to get back out there again, and I want to chase those fireflies into the unknown instead of waiting for joy to come to me, to take a chance on experiencing happiness and passion and freedom that comes with letting go and sometimes just letting God. It wasn't easy, let me tell you, and it still isn't. But I'm learning to let go of that anxiety and fear, and I feel like I'm untangling this mess of Christmas lights. It's frustrating. It's overwhelming. Sometimes I wish I could just throw out the old me and open up a new box of lights or create a new me somehow, one in perfect condition without all the tangles of trauma, and start over entirely. But slowly and surely, I am beginning to find myself again, and I'm starting to recognize that the fears holding me back were nothing more than illusions, just smoke and mirrors designed to keep me small. And you know what? I am tired of playing small. I am tired of missing out on what sets my soul on fire and on the things in life that truly bring me joy. So I am stepping forward and I am taking a leap of faith. I'm starting by releasing that grip that fear had on me and embracing the uncertainty of the unknowns. And one of the things that I'm discovering is that that light of those fireflies was nothing compared to the light that shines from within me when I let go of those fears. Will my fear just suddenly disappear because I wish it or will it to go away? I doubt it. That's not how fear or life works. But when the pain of staying the same is greater than the fear of the unknown, that's when we know we're ready for change. And let me repeat that again. When the pain of staying the same is greater than the fear of the unknown, that's when we step up our game. That's when we let go of fear. That's when we know we are ready to change. And it's a journey, my friends, but I am ready for that change. It's a journey of self-discovery, of learning to trust yourself and your instincts. Don't be afraid to chase those fireflies and to seek out the things that bring you joy and fill your heart with light again. Because when you let go of that fear, when you release the anxiety that binds you, you will find a freedom and joy that is truly incomparable. So let's learn to live free again. Let your soul ignite your passion and your purpose, and don't let fear hold you back. Because the world is waiting for you. It needs you to shine your light bright and illuminate the darkness with your unique brilliance. The world is full of endless possibilities. So let's go catch that joy and freedom we once knew in the process. Fall in love with the things that truly set our freaking souls on fire again. I hope this episode has motivated you as much as it has me to unravel these layers so eventually we can learn to thrive and not just merely survive as we've done in the past. And most of all, I hope you know that you are loved, you are worthy, and you are enough no matter where you're at on this healing journey. Together we can and will heal as we learn to let the past go and welcome in this new chapter of joy and freedom, turning pages of transformation, healing, and change, and chasing fireflies along the way. I can't wait to see where this new road takes us as we embrace this new year and make it everything we so desperately need it to be. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making a difference in my life. I would not be where I am without you. Hang in there and know that you are loved from here to the universe and back. Until next time, I am unconditionally yours. All my love, Sadie.